Holy Spirit, right now we pray that you would just come and fill this space and moment. Lord, even as we transition from worship into a family moment into word, we just pray that you would continue to move upon us, minister to us, and speak to us, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you're a visitor with us today, you are so welcome here at Glasgow Elam. And let me fill you in with where we're at, because we're in a bit of a process at the moment where we are journeying through our values and teaching on our values. And we have been in presence as our priority, which is our first value. And for a little while, we are exploring our culture, our ethos, our shared values. And the next one that we're sitting in at the moment is family is our foundation. And we said this, we are a church that nations and generations call home. The experience of family is foundational in everything that we do. This is our third week sitting in this value, and the passage that we're using as our guide for this is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. If you want to turn there, some of it's on your bookmark, on your seat as well. And it says this, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. As we've been exploring that which we're seeing is at our foundation, we turn to a prayer in Scripture that is all about foundations. And Paul here, he prays for this church in the city of Ephesus, and he prays that they would be rooted and established. Now, these are foundational terms. When you look them up in the dictionary, their meanings reflect this. To be rooted is to cause to strike root, to strengthen with roots, to render firm, to fix, establish, to be thoroughly grounded. And the meaning of established is pretty similar. And when you bring this into this passage, this brings an interesting dynamic to Paul's prayer, because it makes it more than just an act of intercession from him for them. I'm praying for you, and here's what I'm praying. But actually, what it also makes this is a charge that he's giving to them. Now, this prayer, it calls out his heart for them. As he pens this for the Ephesian church, it's almost like he's saying, this is my heart for you. This is my desire for you. This is my encouragement to you. I want you as a people to be rooted and established in love. And this is really interesting language that is really conveying for us a concept of doing church, a method of being as a community. We are to be rooted and established. Paul charges them as a people, almost that the gateway for being part of their community, that is the gateway for being part of this community, that is to be a decision that is to be made. There's to be an intentionality applied. There's to be a choice that is to be shared by all of the people who call their gathered moments home as a church. They are to intentionally choose and decide to be rooted and established in love. And to be rooted in something is to be planted in it. It's to reach down into that thing and to have it as your base and as your foundation. It's to begin to draw from that which you are rooted in and have it as your source point. And when you talk like that, then what we begin to see is that rooting down is actually all about culture. A seed sending its roots into the soil is allowing the soil and that which it contains to be the incubator for the life that the seed contains. The soil that the seed is rooted in is the culture that determines the life that the seed releases, the nutrients of the soil, the conditions of the soil, the depths and the room within the soil is what determines the life that is released. And I guess you could say it determines the shape that the plant takes. Being rooted is about culture. And as Paul writes to this Ephesian church, he tells them that as an entity of people, they are to have a particular culture. They are to share a specific ethos. They are to hold a particular value and to be shaped by just one thing, love. They are like a seed to submerge themselves in love and allow love to be the incubator for the life that they as a people contain. The potential that they hold, the life that God has placed within them, is to be fully realized and fully released within love. In fact, if you major in on this rooted analogy, a seed that is not planted within soil cannot fully release or fully realize the life that it contains. A seed outside of the soil can do nothing. A seed outside of the soil sits with untapped potential. It sits unable to come alive. But in the soil, however, fullness comes. Submerged and planted within the right culture, life is released. And that shows us that culture has the power not just to shape, but to realize potential and to bring fullness. And we talk quite a bit about culture. In fact, we've been harking on about it for quite a bit recently. But it is truly important and it is hugely valuable. It is vital that we get this right. And Paul calls this out for this group of believers. He writes them as a church and he tells them his prayer and he tells them his heart for them. And it's all about foundations and it's all about their culture and it's all about the transformation that comes when they get that stuff right. So this actually speaks a lot to us in our journey as we seek to identify with the culture that God has given to us. As a gathered group of people, as a church, the church is like a seed. Now looking at a seed looks unimpressive. It looks like nothing. It looks irrelevant, small, insignificant. But yet it holds potential beyond its stature. It contains something greater than what it seems to and accomplishes much, much greater than its outside appearance would suggest. It has ability to grow, ability to increase, to release, to generate life. It has capability of reproducing. It has power. It has the power to change, not just in terms of changing its shape, but changing its environment, releasing that which provides oxygen and food and shade and beauty and sustenance. And to look at it, you would never see that. To look at a seed from the outside perspective, you could never see or really fathom how so much can be crammed within it. But yet it takes the right culture for that which is within it to come out. It requires the right culture for the fullness of its potential to be released. A seed is destined to change. It's destined to change beyond recognition. It's intended to grow, to release life, and to become unrecognizable as a result. When a seed accomplishes its purpose, it never looks the same again. The seed germinates, produces roots. The roots then produce a shoot, and the shoot then begins to produce stems, and the stems then begin to produce buds, and the buds begin to produce flowers, and the flowers begin to produce fruit. And the point is that as it grows and as it develops, as its potential is released, it will never look like it originally did. And God intends his church to be a growing entity, to be a living organism, and growth and life isn't all about numbers, by the way. It's actually about height and depth and shape and purpose. But the thing is that as a living organism grows and embraces its potential, it changes in its shape and its appearance and its structure. At each stage of growth, there is a new shape and a new appearance. And sometimes that new shape and appearance can appear fleetingly, and in other times it can remain for entire seasons at a time. Look around at the church right now. hold its shape and the perception that you have of it in your mind's eye. This is how it looks right now. But as we embrace the life and the call that God has for us, the living organism that is this church will begin to change in its shape and its appearance and its structure. And in order for it to grow healthily, we need to let it. We need to embrace the change that God brings to it as we embrace its call, recognizing that as the church does so, the living organism that is Glasgow Elam Church will begin to change beyond recognition as we grow into health and as we grow into what we are called to be. If we believe that as we connect with our culture, that which we are rooted in is going to release life, then the next thing that we need to believe is that as we begin to grow into our health and grow into our life, that this will never look the same forever and ever. Amen. It will grow and it will change in its shape and its structure and its stature and its appearance and its outworking. And we have to let that happen. Thing is, like a seed, a church requires the right culture to accomplish its fullest potential. Paul talks to the church in Ephesus about culture. He writes to them about their shared ethos and values, and he calls out that in order for them to release fullness, they need to be rooted. He says, I pray that you be rooted and established, and then he begins to talk about the fullness of God. In order to accomplish fullness, you have to be rooted, he says. A church is like a seed. Looking in from the outside, the church can seem quite unimpressive at times. And sadly, in recent times, the church universal, this is the church big C we're talking about, in recent times, the church universal has been pretty unimpressive. Bad decisions, poor rhetoric, inappropriate behavior, spiritual snobbery has caused the church to not just look unimpressive to the world, but to actually be unimpressive. Church in our time and within our generation is perceived as and made out to be a nothing, to be irrelevant, to be insignificant. And here's the truth of it. The physical gathered entity actually is. Like, church is made out to be a nothing, to be irrelevant, and it kind of is, in the sense that the physical gathering, the physicality, the physical and literal aspect of it, it's just a gathering of people. It's just a bunch of misfits. It's a group of people that you would never, in a month of Sundays, put together in the one space and place. See what I did there? Month of Sundays, we gather on a Sunday. I thought that was quite clever. Clearly not. But it's a group of people that you would never put together in the one place. Physically, it's quite unimpressive. But here's the thing. God gathers us together, and he organizes us into families. And if we believe that God organizes us into families, and he organizes us into natural families, then it's not a stretch to believe that he organizes us into spiritual families as well. And he calls us together as church, and as church, we're like a seed. We might not look like much from the outside. Or even looking in at the physical entity, it might just look like a gathering of a bunch of people, but the potential within, the life within, spiritually contained within, the change and transformation that God intends to bring out of this bunch of misfits is breathtakingly incredible. The church is that which is intended to be always evolving, always changing and growing, always releasing life, always generating shade and sustenance and social transformation and environmental influence, always producing displays of beauty and splendor. Displaying, yes, the beauty and the splendor of God, but we've got to understand God intends his church to be something absolutely beautiful upon the face of the earth. Amen? But you see, for all of that to happen, the seeds needs to be planted, to be rooted, to be established within the right culture. Outside of that culture, the seed can do nothing. It looks irrelevant. It's profoundly unimpressive. But in the soil, in the right culture, with the right environment, the right ethos, the right values, the church becomes significantly incredible. So Paul says to this bunch of people gathering together, he says, here is my prayer for you. Here is my heart for you, my desire for you, my charge to you. Be rooted and established. Make a choice together. Intentionally decide, share this belief and this behavior. Take this as a value and an ethos. Be rooted and established. Root down, make this foundational. Draw life from, be shaped by, incubate as a people in love. Now, this preaches reasonably well, depending on who's preaching it, and sorry, you've got me, but this preaches reasonably well. Especially when we place the love of God as the interpretation of the love that we're to root down in. And that's not wrong to do that. In fact, I think that's very right. But is there another interpretation of this? Because Paul says that we've to root down in love, and then he begins to talk about us grasping the love of Christ. You could read this as a distinction in the language that he uses. It would have made sense for this to be worded as, I pray that you, being rooted and established in the love of Christ, would have power to grasp how wide and deep and long and high that love is. But that's not the way it's worded. He says that being rooted in love enables a grasp and a discovery of the love of Christ. So hopefully, without sounding completely heretical, here's a thought. Is it possible to interpret this another way? Could the rooting down in a love for one another be what enables a discovery of the love of Christ? Could it be that Paul is suggesting here that when we choose to place a love for one another, a shared culture of love at the foundation of who we are, when we root ourselves deep in love, that's when the seed comes to life. That's when the powerful change begins to happen. It's clear, whatever way you read this, whether you're reading this as rooting down in a love for one another, or whether you read it as rooting down in a love of Christ, and most of us will say, I'm not really sure you can do one without the other. It's not an either or, it's a both and, isn't it? But it's clear that this rooting down enables something. It enables a reaching up and a reaching out. You know, there's something truly amazing about the way that a seed grows. Under the soil, unseen by human eye, there is this germination that takes place. Something happens within the kernel that is a seed, and roots begin to unfold and anchor in the soil. And those roots, they hold the life that has been released in its place, and with the security under the soil, that life then begins to burst out of the soil. That life begins to grow upward, it begins to grow outward, and out of the soil comes this living structure that begins to grow tall and begins to reach wide. And the reason that it's able to grow tall and able to reach wide is because, first of all, there was this rooting down, this connecting with culture. To root down is to reach up and to reach out. And this is what Paul prays. I pray that you, being rooted and established, would be able to grasp wide and long and high and deep. To root down is to reach up. It is to reach out. It's to begin to grasp, grasping wide, grasping long, grasping high, grasping deep. There is clearly an increase that comes, a growth, a transformation, a reach that occurs out of a rooting down. And as we read this, we have this very full analogy that begins to paint within the mind a picture. A picture of a plant unfolding into life, growing in its shape and its size, stretching out its branches, opening up its leaves, unfurling its blossoms and flowers and fruit. The words paint this picture of this living organism growing into the fullness of life, reaching for and realizing its potential. It is inhabiting its space, taking its place, owning its purpose. And Paul paints this picture as he talks to and talks about a group of believers. This is his heart, this is his dream, this is his prayer for this church. That they would root down and reach up and reach out, that they would unfold into their fullest potential and grow in strength and size and beauty and stature, that they would take their place and they would own their purpose. And what is his prayer for this Ephesian church? Is our prayer for our church, amen? That as Glasgow Elam roots down, it would begin to reach up and reach out. The Glasgow Elam would unfold into its fullest potential and grow in strength, grow in size, grow in beauty, grow in stature. That Glasgow Elam would take its place and own its purpose. And that's an amazing prayer, but the question is, how does that actually work? Like, how does that unfold? We could split this into steps almost. There's the first part, this intentional choice of rooting down and connecting with culture. And then there's the conclusion and the outworking of that, this reaching out, this reaching up, this releasing of life and realizing of purpose. But in between those two bits, there's a middle bit. The middle bit is what transitions the first into the last. It's what moves a group of people from the conscious decision of embracing culture and rooting down in love to actually beginning to supernaturally and dynamically grow into health. The middle bit is what connects the two and makes it more than just rhetoric. It makes it lived experience. And this middle bit is personal and it's corporate. It's individual, but yet it's also together. It's the bit that when everybody as individuals embraces this as one, it becomes the spiritual catalyst for growth. And the middle bit is this. I pray that you've been rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp the love of Christ. The first bit, being rooted and established, that's the seed being planted in the soil. The end bit, grasping high and wide and long and deep, that's the plant unfolding in its shape and its structure and its growth. The middle bit is the bit in which change happens within the seed. It is unseen by human eye. It's under the soil. The seed begins to transform in shape and size until that which is planted is not recognizable anymore and the life that is within it begins to come out. There is something really powerful that happens in the middle bit. As the seed bursts into life and change begins to happen, there's something powerful that happens there, and that's what Paul suggests. Because Paul prays that something powerful happens. He says, I pray that you would have power. Pray that you would have a powerful experience. The word power here in the Greek, it means to have full strength. And when we see power and strength, it points us back to an earlier part of this passage that we skipped over in our journey through the text. Verse 16 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he would strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, when Paul writes these words, he's writing to a church. He's clearly praying about the church. But as he prays for them, he's praying not just for them as one entity. He's praying for them as individuals as well. Because he prays that they would have an experience in their inner being, as well as in their hearts. And the word hearts there is plural. So there's an individual component here, an individual component that is shared by them all, a bit like them individually having power, along with all the Lord's holy people. There is this individual and this together part. The individual believers have to steward their own individual spirituality. They are responsible for their own salvation and they are responsible for their own discipleship. And that actually is what Paul calls out here. He tells us this inward transformation that takes place when we begin to put our faith and trust in Jesus. He tells us about the stuff that happens under the soil of the human spirit, under the bonnet of the engine and the deep foundations of who we are. And he says that flowing out of God comes something glorious and rich to live in us. God takes of himself. He takes of who he is and what he has and he gives it to us. Not a meager amount, not something insignificant, because we're told that it's rich. and it's powerful and it's valuable. All that he is in vast supply, all that he is greatly possessing is given to us. We share in what he has and we share in who he is, and we become his sons and his daughters, and therefore we begin to share his character and we begin to share his nature. We begin to share his DNA, and he releases all of that to us through his Spirit. Which means that this isn't merely an academic thing or an intellectual thing. We can put up pictures of seeds and talk about it in an academic way about what we understand is happening when a seed is planted under the soil, but we don't actually experience that change that is happening. What Paul says here is that what happens is not something that we hope is happening, we think is happening, fingers crossed, we pray that it is happening. He tells us it's something that's experiential. Something that we experience because we are strengthened. We sense it, we feel it, we experience it, we know a difference, a change, a transition. Because transformation comes through the power of the Spirit. We are strengthened in our faith, we are made steadfast. There is a change in experience happening in the very foundational parts of who we are, in our inner beings, in our epicenter. And the result of that, the outcome of that, is that Christ dwells in us. Here is the discipleship process in a nutshell. Out through in. Something comes out of God through the Spirit to live in us. And this is the transformation that happens as the seed is planted in the soil and the seed bursts into life and changes unrecognizably to take on a new shape, a new size, a new stature, a new definition. The seed steps into new life. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, something flows out of God through the Spirit to live in us. And here's what happens. We begin to take on a new shape and a new size and a new stature and a new definition. And we begin to live with new life. This is the spiritual formation that God brings to our lives. And somebody should say amen to that, right? But you're like, hang on a minute, Fraser. Because you're mixing up your metaphors here. I thought you said the seed was the church. Now you're saying the seed is the individual soul. What's going on here? Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. Because you're right. The seed is both the individual soul and it is the church. Because as we know, the church isn't an entity. It isn't a building. The church is made up of individuals who are transformed by Jesus Christ. The church is made up of individuals transformed due to that which is flowing out of God's heart through the Spirit to come and live in us. The church is everyone who has been transformed by Jesus Christ. And that's why as Paul speaks of this discipleship and this change, he references it in the individual and he references it in the together at the same time. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he would strengthen you with power in your inner being. That's an individual experience. But then he says, here's the outworking of that. So that Christ would dwell in your hearts, plural, through faith. The outcome of the strengthening of God in our individual beings is that Christ dwells in all of our hearts. There is this individual and together experience here. And the same again is seen in the verse that we're parked on. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, that you would have power together with all the Lord's holy people. That is this individual and this together reference side by side. What's the point here? The point is that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus and he begins the work of transformation in our inner being, he calls us to root down together. To root down in love together with all the Lord's holy people. He calls us to put family as our foundation. To explore the spiritual life that is awakened in us within the experience and the confines of a spiritual family. We are to make the conscious choice and the intentional decision to not do this faith thing alone, but to do it alongside others, to plant ourselves alongside other people who are being transformed by the power of Jesus. And when we do, when we put family as our foundation, we begin to fully unfold into the life that he's given us and into the expression of Jesus that this world needs. So here's the dynamic. to begin to fully grasp the love of Christ, to begin to explore its heights and depths and widths and breadths. We need to, and we are called to plant alongside others who have been transformed by Jesus. See, a seed outside the soil cannot fully realize and release life. But a seed planted can. So allow me to be direct. Are you planted? Are you rooted? You're not called to do this independently. You're not called to do this on your own. He organizes us into families, and he organizes us into spiritual families, and he invites us to come and be rooted. And when you're rooted, you're all in. You're planted deep in the soil. You don't plant yourself in the soil, uproot yourself for a few weeks, a couple of months, come back, root yourself back in again. You root in. There is this call to do and to be church, and it's about exploring life together, and it's about growing in Jesus alongside one another. And as we do that, and as we come together, we make another decision, and a decision that we plant as a church in the right way. We are rooted and established in love. And to do that, we take responsibility for our own discipleship. We make it our mission to be strengthened by that which is flowing out of the Father through the Spirit in Christ. And as we do that, we recognize that those we are planted alongside are doing the same. The whole family as a foundation is to recognize a few things that I call out as we finish. One, it is to recognize that there are others in the soil. We are individually rooted and established alongside others who are grasping and coming to grasp with the height, the depth, the width, and the breadth of the love of Christ. And you know what? There is plenty of room in the soil. We are planted alongside other people, and there is plenty of room in the soil. So it's not just about us, and it's not just about our needs, what I need to be fed, what I need to accomplish, my shape and my size and my stature, because we're growing together, and there's room for all of us to be what we're called to be. And the Father, he is the gardener. So he plants and he uproots and he determines what lives in the soil and what doesn't live in the soil. He determines what the soil contains, not us. He's the gardener, not us. So we've got to learn to share the soil alongside those who are planted alongside us and begin to grow together. The second thing that we learn when we put family as our foundation is that there are others in the soil, and those who share the soil with us are continually being changed through the power of the Spirit in their inner being, just the same as we are. So we need to permit them to change shape in the same way that we are changing shape. We need to allow them to explore the love of Christ in the same way that we're exploring the love of Christ and learning to express it. That sometimes we don't always express it the best. Sometimes we don't always get it right. And we're like, oh, well, I'm growing and I'm learning. But we need to learn to apply that same grace to the other people in the soil round about us. They are growing as we are. They are learning as we are. They're unfolding into their shape as we are. And thirdly and finally, to hold family as our foundation is to root down together, but to recognize that rooting down results in reaching up and reaching out. It's not just about putting the roots down and draw, feed. We root down and we're called to reach up and to reach out. When we hold family as a foundation and we root down together, we're going to grow together. And as we do, we will be ever evolving and ever changing as we step into all that God has called us to be. Church, let's place family as our foundation. Let's root down together. We are in a season of church that is becoming really exciting and really interesting. And so I encourage you, take root. Take your place in the soil. There is room in the soil for you. And let's begin to grow as a people into all that God has called us to be. Let's root down, but let's reach up and let's reach out. And let's steward Glasgow Elam and our generation into the fullest potential that it can possibly have, into all that God has called it to be.